A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Hi, I'm Leighton Hewitt.
Hey, it's Grigor Dimitrov.
Hi, I'm Nick Kyrgios.
Hi, I'm Stan Wawrinka.
And you're listening to the Aegon Championships Tennis Podcast.
40-15.
I love the tournament here. This is where I won my first ATP match here when I was 18 years old. I was given a wild card here. I love the courts, I love the club, and the crowd was packed from the very first Monday right through to the end of the tournament, and it's a pleasure to play in front of a full crowd like that.
I'm David Law, joined by Catherine Whittaker, who spoke to Murray on court. Murray explained how he dealt with the massive Anderson serve.
You know, I just guessed on a few shots in the games where I broke and, got a little bit lucky and I served well.
British Davis Cup captain Leon Smith has been watching Murray for years and he reckons he's never looked better.
I think he is playing the best tennis on grass courts. The Andy Murray over the course of the last 3 years, I think, has been the best grass court player, and I think he's shown that this week.
This is the Aegon Championships Tennis Podcast, brought to you in association with The Telegraph, live from Queens. Well, Andy Murray is a four-time champion at the Aegon Championships. He joins Andy Roddick, Leighton Hewitt, Boris Becker, John McEnroe, Roy Emerson as players that have lifted that trophy on four occasions at the Queen's Club. And Catherine Whittaker, I don't think any of those players, even at their best, would have stopped him today. That's how good he was.
I struggle to explicitly disagree with you because Murray was utterly sensational today. I can't say anything negative about Murray's play. However, I think that's kind of an impossible comparison to make, isn't it?
Oh, I quite like the time machine tennis stuff, don't you?
I do, but there's never any answer to it, is there? It's all just hypothetical. You know, you don't really it's speculation. It's enjoyable speculation, but you don't really get anywhere. So,
well, you just take my word for it.
Okay. All right. Well.
Anyway, what did Andy Murray do between matches, do you think, today? Because he had to play Viktor Troicki and come out at three games all. And he was firing on all cylinders right from the beginning, wasn't he? But then, you know, he had to fight his way through that second set knowing that he's still got a match to play. I mean, how hard do you push yourself? That's the question I was wondering when I was watching him. Do you go all out to try to win that first match and then hope you've got enough left? Or do you actually really keep something in reserve?
Of course you do. Of course you do. Imagine if he had not gone all out in that semi-final against Viktor Troicki and not won it and been sitting at home tonight going, well, I just sort of assumed that I, you know, would make the final and not... Can you imagine how he'd feel? Of course he went all out. He just, frankly, as much as I give Viktor Troicki enormous credit for what he's done this week and the last few weeks, Murray is a better player. And he did what he needed to do to win it. And had he kept more in reserve, he might have got himself into a bit of trouble and ended up in a third set and having to expend even more energy before the final. So, of course, he had to go for it. And I think what he did between matches just shows what a professional he is. It's all about the physio work. He's so professional about that. He's very generous about paying tributes to his team in his post-match press conference. And he was very keen to do that after the final today.
It was interesting to hear from him. Some of the journalists, I think, were wondering whether maybe actually this benefits you, Andy, because you almost play yourself into the day and so forth. And obviously he won all of the sets that he played, but he wasn't having any of that, was he? He felt as though at the age he is now, late 20s, maybe that's not as easy as it used to be.
No, of course not. I mean, I think, imagine going flat out at the gym twice in one day.
I mean, I can't.
No, well, exactly. I mean, that's exactly what it is. It's not going for a light stroll. It's expending everything you have. That's what you need to, you know, these are the latter stages of a top level tennis tournament. These are the best players in the world at what they do. It's not, he, as I said, he wasn't going out there thinking, oh, I can just stroll through this. Viktor Troicki was, he is a good tennis player on grass, and he posed a real challenge today, and he had to play really well to beat him. And I think it's a real credit to Murray, because yes, had he just been playing the final today, he would have practiced beforehand. He probably would have been on the court for half an hour, 45 minutes. It is not the same. It is not the same. I think just the tension you feel in your body, I'm saying this as if it's something I felt before. It is not.
Apart from against me at the Royal Albert Hall, obviously.
I can imagine, and I've seen enough tennis to guess that the tension you feel in your body, it puts a stress in your body that is completely different to practice, just purely by virtue of it being a match situation. So don't dismiss it as, oh, he was only on court for less than an hour against Viktor Troicki, because it was a big factor, him having to play twice today.
However, that all said, I have to say, I might have to just take issue with Andy Murray a little bit. And I mean, look, he's the boss. He knows it's his body. It's his game. I do think he ended up playing even better for having got on the court late morning and played himself in, and he was wired in. He wasn't doing anything else with his day. He was a tennis player ready to go in a battle. And I think it actually helped him.
Well, he certainly looked like he was in a hurry, didn't he? He certainly looked like a man that was thinking, God, I've played enough tennis today. I just want to get this over with, because he was blooming brilliant. I know everybody is now talking up Andy Murray's chances at Wimbledon, and I know that's very easy to do, especially given that he hasn't played any of the top guys this week. And of course, that's a bigger test. And of course, the fact that he hasn't beaten Djokovic since the Wimbledon 2013 final. But the fact that he himself is saying to Sue Barker in the on-court interview afterwards, I'm playing better tennis than I was in 2013. Yes, we've all been saying that, watching him this week and in France, saying it looks like he's been playing better tennis than he was in 2013. I think the fact that he's saying it and isn't afraid of how much that will stoke the fires of everybody talking about his Wimbledon chances, the fact that he's not afraid of that, he knows what that will lead to. He knows that every paper tomorrow morning is going to say Andy Murray's going to win Wimbledon, and we're saying it now. He doesn't mind that, because he thinks, yeah, maybe I will win Wimbledon again this year.
Well, the British Davis Cup captain Leon Smith is a guest of the Aegon Championships tennis podcast later. It's a subject we touched on with him, and he was very much of a similar opinion. We'll also be hearing from Andy Murray, who spoke to Catherine Whittaker on the court straight after his victory. But first, in his final Aegon Championships, we're going to remember Leighton Hewitt. Legends of Queens. Leighton Hewitt. Hewitt arrived at the Queen's Club as a 17-year-old in 1998, back-to-front cap, ponytail sticking out, and you could hear him from the other side of the club. He won the tournament a record-equalling four times. Here's John Barrett.
I remember going to Adelaide to watch him prepare for the Australian Championships and play Agassiz, and he beat him. But here at Queen's Club, to be able to return as consistently as he did, he was in a groove which had been coming on all week. And I remember in the final, he was timing it effortlessly and actually stepping in to meet the ball on his returns, which seemed amazing. Sampras was shocked, I think. Shocked.
When I beat Pete Sampras in the first final there in Queens, it was a really hot summer's day in England, which was surprising. I just remember in the warm-up, Pete's sliced backhand, how much it was skidding through and staying so low, and you know, I just kept shaking my head thinking, how the hell am I going to keep getting this back all day? And I was able to actually win in straight sets, and you know, some of my best returning has ever been done on that centre court at Queen's Club.
Hewitt was a competitor like none other. He never knew when he was beat, and he was absolutely determined to to win every point.
Leighton Hewitt, Catherine, I can't believe it. We're not going to see him here again.
No, it doesn't quite feel real.
Well, he might come back, but he's not going to play, is he?
No, well, that's a very good point, because I cannot imagine Leighton Hewitt that's not involved in tennis. He will be here as Davis Cup captain. He's not just going to go back to his house and twiddle his thumbs, is he? I mean, he will be in and around tennis for as long as he's able to. So, yes, it's sad that we're not going to see him on the court, but we'll see him in various players' boxes and on the tournament director's balcony. And
could you imagine, as a coach, imagine what he'd be like? He'd be, oh, I want to see that.
And I think you will see that. Yeah, I think we're going to see exactly what that will. I mean, he's the Davis Cup captain's job is there for him when he wants it, isn't he? So that's sort of a coaching role in itself. And I'm sure if and when that comes to an end, he will. He's a ready-made coach, isn't he? He's a fantastic analyst of the game. He's really insightful on commentary. He's even in the latter stages of his career, he's been doing commentary for Channel 7 in Australia. And I have to say, he has really surprised me in how good he is. Not that I thought he'd be bad, but it takes a real level of skill to be as good at it as he is. You know, he's has potential to be up to John McEnroe level of insight into the game. He really is sensational.
Well, that says everything. Well, whatever you do, Leighton, everybody at the Aegon Championships at the Queen's Club wishes you all the best. Now, after Andy Murray's victory to win his fourth title at the Queen's Club, Catherine Whittaker went on to that sacred grass and spoke to him.
A record-equalling fourth title here. What does that mean to you?
Yeah, it means a lot. I mean, I've always enjoyed this tournament. Like I said just now in the presentation, it was where I won my first ATP match. So I have really good memories from here. I always enjoy coming back. And, you know, it's the perfect tournament to prepare for Wimbledon. The courts are, I mean, this year they were, I think, better than usual, and normally they're fantastic. So it was very good week, and nice to finish it with a win.
As you said, Wimbledon's just around the corner. You've just carved up one of the best servers on the tour. How good a marker of your form is that?
Carved up is a wrong way of putting it. I mean, it was tough. I mean, I played a couple of good return games, but outside of that, it was tricky because you served. It felt like a very high percentage of first serves, and you know, I just guessed on a few shots in the games where I broke and, you know, got a little bit lucky. And I served well myself today. So probably the best I'd served throughout the tournament. I didn't serve loads of aces, but my placement was good and variety was good. So, it's a tough match because Kevin's played very well this week. He struggled in his first round match against Hewitt. He was match points down, but then after that, had some very good wins, so it was a good one to get through before Wimbledon.
And just finally, you've won this tournament every other year since 2011. What is it about odd years that you like so much?
I don't know. I think, you know, I would say that this year, I mean, obviously that's just coincidence, but, you know, this year it really helped, you know, having the extra week to prepare. You know, the last time that I won it in 2013, you know, I didn't play the French Open, so I had time to.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hello, Tennis Podcast listeners. David here. Now, you might know that I love a bit of cooking, and I think I'm quite good at it. But if I'm honest, even I get fed up trying to work out what to do every night. That's where Home Chef comes in. being able to put together a delicious meal without the long prep and the cook times, well, that's pretty cool. Home Chef provides fresh ingredients and chef-designed recipes conveniently delivered to your doorstep to simplify your cooking experience. They have over 30 options a week and serve a variety of dietary needs, so you don't have to worry about what to make ahead of time. Not only is it convenient, but it's economical too. Home Chef customers save an average of $86 per month on groceries. Now, for a limited time, Home Chef is offering Tennis Podcast listeners 18 free meals plus free dessert for life and, of course, free shipping on your very first box. Go to homechef.com/tennis. That's homechef.com/tennis for 18 free meals and free dessert for life. You heard it right.
Pair on the grass this year the same, whereas last year I lost in the semis in Paris on Friday and then take a couple of days off and you only have 1 or 2 days to get ready, whereas it helps that this year, you know, I had sort of 7-8 days before my first match on the grass, and makes a big difference.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Cheers.
So Andy Murray will move onwards to Wimbledon. Now, in our Mow It Moment Challenge, it's the man that Andy Murray beat in the semi-finals, Viktor Troicki of Serbia.
Your Aegon Championship Mow It Moment 60-second challenge starts now. Who won the Aegon Championships here at Queen's last year?
Grigor Dimitrov.
Correct. Who won it 2 years ago?
Andy Murray.
Correct. How many Grand Slam titles has Andy Murray won?
2.
Correct. Which former Wimbledon champion did Nick Kyrgios beat at Wimbledon last year?
Rafa Nadal.
Correct. When did Boris Becker win his first Wimbledon?
88.
No, 85. Oh. When you win your biggest title, what will you drink to celebrate?
Moet.
Okay. How old was Leighton Hewitt when he won at Queen's for the first time?
20.
19.
Oh.
How many times has Andy Roddick beaten the Wimbledon final?
3.
Correct. How many Queen's titles has Tim Henman won?
0.
Correct.
All right.
Which two players who are playing at Queen's this week reached the Wimbledon semi-finals for the first time last year?
Dimitrov Raonic.
Correct. And finally, what was the score in the fifth set when John Isner beat Nicholas Mahut at Wimbledon?
71-69.
70-68. So Viktor Troicki wasn't that successful on the court today, but he didn't do too badly at the Mow It Moment Challenge, did he? Now, after Andy Murray's victory, I went down into the player lounge where I found the great Britain Davis Cup captain, Leon Smith, who was pretty excited with the way Andy Murray had played. Well, down in the player lounge at the moment, there are really only the groups, the support groups of Kevin Anderson, the beaten finalist, and Andy Murray, many of them still sitting around chatting through what has gone on over the last couple of hours. The wonderful performance of Andy Murray is at the top of the list of conversation at the moment. And one man who's joined us here on the Aegon Championships Tennis Podcast, who is sitting front row as part of Andy's support team, was the Great Britain Davis Cup captain, Leon Smith. And Leon, that was pretty special.
I mean, it really was. I mean, we saw Andy Murray, is it back to his best or is it better? I mean, I think he alluded to that in his post-match comments. I mean, he is playing very, very well. He's playing well with his serve. I mean, his stats from his serve are excellent. His second serve, which is often talked about, was much increased on its speed. But it was his aggression, his aggression after serve on his ground strokes, going after it, coupled with some fantastic drop shots, low slice. So that combination of aggression with his variety is looking really, really good.
Judy was on the show a couple of days ago. She said that one of the things she's really enjoyed about the last year in which Amine Maresmo has been in his corner is that he's brought back his variety into his game, his creativity. And that is in no way meant to criticise the work done by Ivan Lendl, obviously, which led to 2 Grand Slam titles and Olympic gold. But it seems to me, not only has he got those things, he's using them aggressively.
Well, I think that's the key, isn't it? I think it's using variety in an offensive way. It's not when you're perhaps, you know, sitting too deep behind the baseline and try a drop shot from there. It's about picking the right times to be aggressive with the variety. So you do it all in your terms, and that's what Andy's brought into his game. And I think what Ivan Lendl installed was the need to be aggressive on certain shots. So you hit a big first serve, you have that slightly easier forehand, well, you go after it, you pull the trigger. That's really important. But I think what he's managed to do with Maresmo is bring back the understanding of when to use your variety, because it's such a weapon and it's in Andy's DNA. Andy enjoys playing that way, and if he's going to have a long career, he needs to do a lot in his terms and the way he wants to play. So I think you've really hit the nail on the head by saying it's actually using the variety when he's in an offensive situation.
If Andy Murray played against Andy Murray of 2013, who won Wimbledon, who would win?
I think he's playing a little bit better now. But I think Andy would also say that so are the other players. And I think that's an important point. This is why we all, I mean, our respect for these guys, especially in the top five, top four, they just keep nudging up, getting better and better. Novak Djokovic is a better player than 2-3 years ago. He's got better. He hires Boris Becker. He adds things to his game. Andy Murray's done the same over the years with Ivan Lendl and Amelie Mauresmo and now Jonas Bjorkman. They're just adding bits to their game. So I think the whole level's gone up by all of them.
That all being said, I heard you on Radio 5 Live earlier on today, BBC Radio 5 Live, who I'll be working for during Wimbledon, as you will a little bit, I think, as well. And I heard that you said Andy Murray is your pick for the Wimbledon title.
Yeah, I should probably whisper it. I think he is. I mean, you know, it sometimes doesn't do many favours putting someone out there, but why not? I think he is playing the best tennis on grass courts. You know, I take last year aside. That's a different Andy Murray coming back from his surgery. The Andy Murray over the course of the last 3 years, I think, has been the best grass court player, and I think he's shown that this week. Okay, not everyone's been in his pathway to really confirm that, but I think at Wimbledon we'll see Andy really challenging for that title.
We're going to be back here, aren't we, in about 6 weeks' time, a month's time, something like that, to see the Davis Cup. We'll be watching. You'll be picking the team, preparing the team. And imagine that work has already started this week.
It sure has. I mean, this is why this event here at Queen's is so brilliant. You get to watch a lot of the French players who have played here. So guys like Gilles Simon have managed to scout, and Gasquet scouting, doubles teams, Mahou and Herbert playing here, managed to watch, Shardy was here. So you get to pick up a lot of information. And of course, it's all relevant, very relevant, because it's on the court we're going to be playing on. And for Andy, it couldn't have been any better. Memories for when we come back here in a few weeks' time. And I just saw the head groundsman, and I shook his hand and I said, look, whatever you do, do not change the length of the grass. Whatever it is, keep as is. It's working, so I hope it remains that way.
Yes, because Gilles Simon, I mean, obviously, I think most people look at the French team and the first names that the eye is drawn to are probably people like Gaël Monfils and Joe Wilfried Tsonga, but Gilles Simon this week, wow.
He played some great tennis, and he's actually someone who plays well on all surfaces. And because Tsonga is still nursing abdominal injury, Monfils hurt himself this week out in Halle, moving into, I think, a sideboard, and he had picked up an injury. So if those guys aren't fit and ready for Wimbledon, it probably rules them out. It could rule them out. And that means Simons is probably one of the players in the driving seat. But they have a lot to choose from.
And as you mentioned, the doubles pairing of Mahou and Herbert are out there at the moment in the doubles final, so they clearly have a great option there, and that's not the only one.
No, absolutely, and Mahou winning a singles title last week as well on grass is really pushing himself. He may even feature in the singles the rate he's going. It really is, it's quite difficult for us to know which way they'll go, which is why we've got to do our homework on all the players, even if it's a 7, 8, 9 list. For ours, it's a little bit narrower, obviously. But I think we should go into the tie with a lot of confidence because, you know, although they've got great depth, we've got Andy Murray, who's playing, you know, significantly better than any of the players on their team. And we've got a very good doubles options, whether it was, you know, Andy and Dom had a run out here this week. Dom Inglot hasn't played for a good sort of 10, 12 weeks. So he'll find his feet again. He's playing with Jamie Murray in Nottingham this week. So that's another combo. We obviously had good memories of their very close match against the Bryans. We could have Andy and Jamie playing. So we've got many options to choose from. And in our number two single spot, whether it's James Ward or Kyle Edmund that get the selection for that, you know, we saw what James Ward's capable of in Glasgow. He's been a top 20 player in John Isner, who's had a fine last 6-7 weeks. So it's an exciting tie, it's a close tie, and I think it's going to be fantastic coming back to the centre court at Queen's for it.
Would it be fair to say that second single spot is still up for grabs, particularly given that Wimbledon is about to start?
Yeah, it is. I mean, we've got about to get a train actually right now up to Nottingham tonight, so I can get ready to watch James, Kyle, Ali Ashbedin as well is up there playing. So we've got some Brits in action at an ATP event tomorrow, which is good. And then Wimbledon's important because both Kyle and James have had some injuries and niggles and aches and pains, and we need to see the form of everybody. And what's better than a best of five set match against quality opposition on grass to fight for selection? And that's what it should be. You should be fighting like anything for your wins at Wimbledon, to fight for a place in the team. It's really what it should be all be about.
It's a thrilling prospect. Leon, thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much.
Leon Smith, the captain of the Great Britain Davis Cup team there, and he has got a heck of a task on his hands over the next month, hasn't he? Trying to pick the right team and also trying to scout the opponents, because they could come up with just about any permutation imaginable with the amount of players they've got.
Well, exactly. It's almost it's an incredibly interesting tie, because it's a total contrast. It's Great Britain, where the top player picks himself, and there are other question marks that go on elsewhere in the team, but Andy Murray is so far and away the best player that that's not even a discussion. In the French team, there's so much going on with the various players. There are a number of players clustered in very similar places in the rankings, and each of them has very differing records on grass. I mean, Gael Monfils on grass is not well proven, shall we say. Gilles Simon was very honest yesterday in press, saying he basically played here in order to give himself an opportunity to prove himself for the Davis Cup, which is, first of all, an indication of how much it means, how important it is, and also an indication of, well, surely he's made the strongest case possible, really, to be picked for that team. So, I mean, Gael Monfils, it looks touch and go, if not more unlikely than not, that he's not even going to be fit for it, which is devastating for him. But there's just so much intrigue everywhere. There's not enough time for me to talk about how much intrigue there is. Will Murray play the doubles? It's such a big question, isn't it? And I think the answer to it is probably, if he needs to, he will. If it's one all after day one, he has to play the doubles.
There's plenty of time for us to talk about it. Don't you worry. Over the next couple of weeks, we'll be coming to you from Wimbledon. Every single day, the Tennis Podcast brought to you in association with The Telegraph during Wimbledon and every day at the Davis Cup too. Now, challenge Catherine. Why are you smiling?
Because it should no longer be called Challenge Catherine. It should be called Wahoo Catherine. Because... I'm not quite as rubbish at predicting things as you and the listening public thought I was. I don't want to be too triumphant about this, because I know that darker times are probably ahead for my future.
And I haven't had a go.
But this week, it has gone well. It has gone undeniably well. And
it's a stunning fight back, wasn't it?
Yeah, I'll say. I mean, it seems that the trajectory for me is up. I sort of get into my predictions as the tournament goes on.
You're the Gilles Simon of predictions.
The Gilles Simon. Yeah, I come back from match point down every time. So, I'm quietly...
Smug.
I'm quietly smug, but not getting ahead of myself, because I know that it's probably not a sign of things to come.
Indeed. This is the Aegon Championships Tennis Podcast, brought to you in association with The Telegraph. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.